FCC plans to allow Franken FMs to stay on the air and invites one more station to the party. And that's it. The Enforcement Bureau steps foot on Delmarva dirt for the first time in a very long time, all because a translator was running just a wee bit too much power. All of that and saying goodbye to Southern California Shortwave, coming up right now.
REC, FCC Today, Peachy Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, June 29, 2023. The next open meeting of the Federal Communications Commission will be on Thursday, July 20, 2023, which is also the 39th anniversary of REC Networks. Three reports in order will be considered, including one to adopt rules to enhance tribal communities' access to the E-rate program by streamlining certain rules and extending the program to include tribal libraries. The commission will also seek comments on how to further improve and simplify the program for all E-rate recipients. The FCC will also consider a report in order regarding outage reporting related to the ability for someone to be able to call the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Finally, the FCC will issue a report in order in MB Docket 03-185, also known as the Franken FM proceeding. In the 03-185 proceeding, the FCC will permanently allow the 13 existing low-power TV stations on Channel 6 that have been operating analog FM services to continue their operation as to not harm listeners. The FCC will not allow any other LPTV stations to engage in FM6 operations, with the exception of WVOALD Westvale, New York, licensed to Metro TV. The FCC stated that at the time that the rulemaking was adopted, the Syracuse area station had a minor modification that was being held up due to international coordination. Because of that, they could not start FM6 services. The FCC stated that WVOA's situation was extenuating and they will permit it. The FCC also established a requirement that some radio broadcast rules would also apply to the FM6 operation. Even though LPTV stations are not required to maintain a public file, the FCC will require LPTV facilities with an FM6 operation to maintain a public file, but only for the FM6 part of the operation. The FCC will also consider the FM6 operations to be ancillary and supplementary, and therefore would be subject to the 5% ancillary or supplementary service fee. The FCC declined National Public Radio's request to extend the FM broadcast ban one channel to 87.9 for non-commercial stations in areas outside of Channel 6 service areas. REC opposed NPR's bid because NPR failed to provide any technical rules and their proposal did not go far enough. REC had recommended that frequencies 87.5, 87.7, and 87.9 should be made available in areas outside of Channel 6 stations for low-power FM broadcast services. The FCC also declined to change the rules regarding full-service LPFM and FM translator facilities operating in the 88.1 to 91.9 reserve band from being required to protect Channel 6 TV stations, citing the lack of technical information to justify the change. The FMTV6 rule was put in place in 1985 to address interference to viewers using TV sets manufactured in the 1960s and 1970s. Just a reminder, if you're listening to this on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, please remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification dinger to be reminded of future content. Thanks again for your support. Also, housekeeping note, Independence Day is on Tuesday, July 4th. The FCC will be closed that day. REC will only be open for work related to the LPFM filing window. FCC Today, the podcast, will return on Thursday, July 6th. Please have a safe 4th of July. On Wednesday, the FCC has announced another $29 million in funding through the Emergency Connectivity Fund Program. The ECF provides digital tools and services to support students across the country. Wednesday's funding benefits 65,000 students in California, Idaho, Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and South Dakota. According to the FCC, over $6.7 billion in funding commitments have been made to date nationwide. Most railroads in the United States are using the 220 megahertz band for positive train control. PTC sends signals between railway locomotives and wayside or trackside base stations that monitor various aspects of the train's operation, including speed and braking. The use of PTC has been expanded, especially in light of rail accidents that have taken place over the past couple of decades. PTC systems can send signals to a locomotive that is operating too fast going into a curve, or can automatically slow down and apply braking. It could also be used to prevent trains from crossing red signals when the train operator fails to do so. In 2008, in REC's old backyard of Chatsworth, California, a Metrolink commuter train blew a red signal and collided head-on with a freight train operating on a single track coming from the other direction. The accident resulted in the deaths of 25 people and many more were injured. The NTSB determined at the time that the train's operator was distracted by text messaging. The Metrolink disaster was one of the rallying calls for the deployment of PTC, citing in some areas that even with the use of PTC, the 220 megahertz spectrum is still underutilized to its full potential. PTC 220, a consortium of several freight railways, petitioned the FCC to allow the use of the spectrum for other uses. The Wireless Telecommunications Bureau has granted an extended waiver to the railway industry to expand the use of the 220 megahertz band for additional safety-related systems such as distributed power systems and end-of-train devices. End-of-train or EOT devices are those little units you see on the last car of trains, and they replace the caboose. EOT devices monitor brake line pressure and other information and transmits that information to the cab of the train. These devices normally operate on a small but very congested part of the spectrum in the 450 megahertz band, but various issues such as extended train lengths and hilly terrain and other factors have resulted in performance issues with these devices. PTC 220 states that allowing EOT devices to use the 220 megahertz band will relieve congestion on the 450 megahertz band and improve EOT reliability. The waiver grants the use of these other types of devices on the condition that PTC systems will always have priority. The U.S. has lost another shortwave broadcaster. Strategic International Ministries announced earlier this week that they have discontinued the operations of KVOH. KVOH is located in Southern California at a hilltop site, which is very unusual for a shortwave facility. For decades, KVOH has been operating a fairly limited schedule, mainly operating Spanish-language Christian programming targeted to Central and South America. KVOH told the FCC today that the land where the shortwave antennas are is going to be developed. Also located at the Chatsworth Peak site is KWSV LP1, a booster for LPFM station KWSV LP Simi Valley, the first ever booster for an LPFM station and the catalyst for rule changes in 2019 initiated by REC Networks to permit LPFM stations to own up to two on-channel boosters within the station's service contour. No immediate plans have been made for the next chapter of KVOH. This station was in REC's old backyard of Chatsworth, California, and personally, I have fond memories of that signal on 17775 kilohertz coming in like a local. As recent as last year, I was able to pick up the 17775 signal here in Riverton. Strategic is also involved with other radio ministry operations in the Middle East using medium wave frequencies. A little closer to our current backyard, the Enforcement Bureau sent a notice of violation to Ruby Lopez, licensee of W230CO, Seaford, Delaware, for operating with excessive power. The translator, which rebroadcasts AM station WSUX, is licensed for 128 watts transmitter power output. On December 8, field enforcement agents were here on Delmarva and observed that the station was running at 1,498 watts. When the inspector came to visit the station, the TPO was reduced at the last minute to 148 watts, which is still above the 105% tolerance allowed. Lopez has 20 days to respond to the NOV.
FCC Today.
FCC Today, the podcast, has been a production of REC Networks, always on at recnet.com. If you're watching on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification dinger to be informed of new episodes. Keep up to the minute with events around the Media Bureau at fcc.today. If you need assistance with an FM broadcast facility, existing LPFM, full service, or translator, call 202-621-2355. For new LPFM applications for the filing window, visit lpfm.app. Pre-qualify and fill out the show of interest form. I'm Michelle Bradley, KU3N, SBE certified broadcast technologist. Thanks for listening.
REC.